And we're back with Worship Factory on KKLA 99.5 FM. And we are getting to our next segment, which is actually called Exposed. And Monique, what are your thoughts about that?
Hi, this is Monique and John, and we are in studio with...
Mark Bryant.
Woo! Woo! This is Exposed. And John, would you just kind of remind us what Exposed is all about?
Exposed is network solutions for today's Christian creative youth, the college kids, the people my age, as far as how we're going to be for, you know, what we need to do in creative arts and the obstacles that we're going to face at our age that are going to be slightly different than the obstacles that someone that's already in entertainment as like yourself, Monique, you're already there. So you face different obstacles.
I try. I'm not always there, but I try. And we're missing out on Mariana, but she's in your same age group. She's got a lot of experience as far as she's taken a lot of theater. She's taken a lot of writing courses. And right now, she's like, Mark's here. Ask him about writer's block. She's got this major writer's block. Just to pass along to Mariana, help us out, Mark. As far as when it comes to writer's block, what are you going to tell this generation, this college age? What are some tools that...
Or even high school. A lot of creative people, you know, have to get the bug when they're 11, you know.
Yeah.
And work it or don't work it, depending on how their parents, you know, adjust to them saying they want to be artists at the dinner table. Usually the parents will say, well, don't you think you'll need something to fall back on?
Exactly.
And I think I'd say the same thing to adults or children. And high school and college age, John.
He looked at you when he said children. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did. I get that.
You got to let yourself be willing. You got to be willing to let yourself do it badly. Because writer's block is about trying for perfection and looking at the screen and you know, starting, and then your critic is right on your back.
Yeah.
And your inner critic needs to be put in abeyance for a while. And the only way to do that is to either speed write or talk it into a microphone or even... If you like your ideas and she's got strong thoughts about what she wants to say in the book, have a friend come over and just talk to them about it and tape it, transcribe it, use that. Because once they get through, any of us, we all face it. Anybody who's creative faces those times of what we call drought. Mm-hmm. And usually that's because we've either overfished our pond of creative ideas and we need to kind of replenish that with visual stimulus or physical stimulus, exercise, whatever. And nobody writes a good book. Nobody writes a great song. We write bad books, bad songs, and then we fix them. And fix them and fix them and fix them and fix them and fix them. And then eventually, I don't think they're ever fixed. They just pull it away from our... pull it out of our hands and won't let us have it back while they publish it or whatever.
I just want to point out one thing. When I did do your seminar, I was so at peace when I was kind of, you know, writing down and kind of expressing what was in me because you provided a safety place for me. You said, that's great. That's great. You just kept encouraging. You just kept anyone who would say something or put something out there. You created this environment of safety where no one felt stupid. No one felt dumb. It was just the process of getting ideas out there. And no matter how dumb or redundant or how ridiculous it might have sounded, you created this atmosphere where we were just laying it down. Just lay it down. What's in your heart? You know, it's going to be hard to expose the junk that I'm going through, but here it is, and that's what's going to, you know, produce something that's meaningful and that will touch somebody else. That was something that specifically for me at this seminar that was kind of hard. I'm going through some rough stuff, and you created this atmosphere where I was like, okay, I'm going through a hard time, but this is my reality, and I was able to lay it out there, and because you provided that safety place, I felt safe in doing that.
And part of the whole Artist Way at Work processes and pretty much all of Julie's and my work, whatever the topic, is that we have to give ourselves permission to build a safe inner spot, you know, a safe inner space.
Yeah.
And at least to get our critic and the need for it to pay off for us. You know, we think of, I won't write the book unless they give me an advance or whatever. And we just have to do it from the heart first. And anything I've ever done for service, you know, to serve somebody else, do the Artist Way, Prodigal Father, Reunite Fathers and Kids, whatever it is, has always really worked out for me. And everything I've done that I thought was going to make me rich and famous has turned to dreck. You know? So, but I think with what you're really asking, John, I think is a question about identity, right? How do I find my identity? And And we set that up for ourselves as if it's an either-or question. I can either be an artist or I can be a parent. Or I can either be an artist or I can be a lumberjack, or right, or a scientist. And in fact, that's what we have to break down.
I like that.
Because we can work at regular jobs and feed ourselves, and as both of you know, and still do art. And, you know, John, I didn't even realize that you had learned so much music so fast. And sometimes it's just listening to that chord you've learned to do and reminding yourself that 5 weeks ago you didn't know how to do that.
Right.
Yeah, that's that's something that keeps me going too, is I'll tell myself, oh, I can't do that, and then I'll do it, and then I'm like, all right, okay, I need to stop telling myself I can't do that.
Yeah, we're our own worst critics.
That's
yeah.
right. Nobody has to tell us not to do it or that we're not good enough, because our own mind is doing it. I mean, it's a dangerous neighborhood, as they say. I don't like to go into my own head by myself.
Yeah.
and it's true. And you know, most of the blocks aren't the studios, aren't the record companies. It's our own judgment of the work and will it measure up and how we compare ourselves to other people. And, John, there's an exercise for any teens or any college-age students or anybody. It's always the same, really. And that is, fill the form. If you want to learn to, like I know you're singing now and playing guitar, and the last thing I would want you to do is go run out and get an Andre Segovia classical record and listen to it, because that's not your next jump. Your next jump is from the living room to the local, you know,
coffee shop.
Right?
Baby steps.
That's right. And you get into that coffee shop, and if you compare yourself to what you hear in the coffee shop, you're going to be a lot better than when you compare it to somebody who's been doing it at the top of the world's game for 30 years, you know, or however long Segovia played before he died.
Yeah. Right. One of the greatest pieces of encouragement that I got when I was first starting out was, as a singer, you have to have a vocal demo. People, A, have to know that you want to be a studio singer. B, have a vocal demo. And I was telling this woman, I said, I don't have anything. She's like, that's okay. You just put the two things that you may have on, throw something else on there, and your demo reel is going to evolve. It's going to get better with every job that you do, with every new song that you write. You just keep, you know, shifting it so it gets better and better. And she was absolutely right. It was good to have something to start with. There's always got to be a starting point, and I think we get frustrated because we don't see that as the ideal, and that's we get frustrated. We don't even want to start at square one because it's not what we really want. But that's right. You have to start there.
And this is very important for the college and high school, really, or any beginner. Everybody's bad at first.
Right.
No matter who you are, no matter what you're trying to do, we're all terrible at what we're going to try to do when we first start it. And then we have to find a mentor. We have to set up that sacred circle for ourselves and that internal boundary between our work and our critic, and allow ourselves to do what you do so well, John, and that is to just go out and play, go to the karaoke bars and sing, get out there and do it. I have heard some of the best music I have ever heard in my life on the street.
Yeah.
A banjo player in Vancouver, a couple of blues guys with a guitar that I don't even think had five strings in the streets of Chicago, and they just were amazing. Yeah. And so, you know, once we do it for joy like that and find those moments of joy and hold on to them so that we keep coming back to get the positive reinforcement, you know, that path is charted in a way that'll be joyful, because we can't know what it's going to bring us financially. And if we set up a creativity goal based only on finance, it's going to dry up very fast, is my experience.
Right. And along with those baby steps, just as a musician, somebody coming out of college, you can't just expect to be in the industry. I think what was valuable for me when I was first starting off was knowing that it's okay to sing for weddings and funerals and give piano lessons and try other aspects of music, you know, to kind of supplement, you know, when other studio stuff isn't happening.
And one of the things I want to add to that, Monique, is that a lot of kids, because of where they come from or how they live their early lives or mistakes they might have made, I certainly made some in high school that were, you know, resonant for me for many years and weren't very positive in my life that I had to change. They need to know that no matter where you grew up or how you grew up or what your parents thought about anything, you have a right to go and express yourself and find a mentor and find something to do that you love and find a spiritual path that works for you, and then evolve into who you're going to be. And I think that's part of what happens for teens and and college-age students is there's nobody there to help them.
Right. And giving ourselves enough room to mess up and to fail and to be, you know what, that's okay. That's part of the learning process.
Yeah, because if you are not willing to fail, then you're not going to evolve, certainly as an artist and I think as a human being. And that's why, and John, you're doing it so well, so fast. It's a wonderful thing to watch. So there you are.
I'm just soaking all this in. I mean, I'm not even saying anything like too much because I feel like they're actually talking to me because a lot of the stuff they're discussing is issues that I'm going through, and that's perfect because what this is issues that I'm going through are issues that the listeners are going through, the people my age group are going through. I mean, troubles at home that might stop them from being creative, like parents getting divorced. You know, if you're a creative person and now you got this struggle, well, it's like, you know, a lot of kids, I think, put the creativity aside whenever there's struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Or they put the creativity aside when there's, you know, drinking or when there's stuff that mm-hmm. they start getting into that's not creative.
Right. And I just want to say that whatever your deepest pain is likely the source of your greatest creativity.
Right.
It's something that's going to drive your best
songs. It'll bring new life.
It'll bring new life, and you can turn it around to a positive thing. I mean, not everybody writes songs that it's such a happy day. You know, she left me, he left me. You know, I mean, those are times they face that were really hard. And so those hard times can support you because you'll turn them into something good.
Well, thank you for being with us, Mark. We appreciate your wisdom and your advice.
And we're back with Worship Factory on KKLA 99.5 FM. I'm Kempton with Rod and Monique. We just had a wonderful pleasure of having an in guest with us today.
Great
Mark Bryan, which was amazing. It just so happens to be my brother, believe it or not. We actually come from the same bloodline. Unbelievable when I think about it. I can't even think about it because he's got all the brains. Actually, a master's degree from Harvard. I mean, you can go through his list. It's like, check him out on worshipfactory.net. And we are in line at worshipfactory.net. Please get connected. Please get online. Please check out what we're doing.
We're going to be here Saturdays at 7 o'clock. Love to spend time with you talking about creative arts and interviewing artists. So we've got some guest artists coming up. We're going to be talking to Dan Franklin, the writer of our In and Out song, coming up.
Go
so
Dan.
That'll be a great show for us as well.
Yeah, check out Dan on Real Life Church up in Valencia, California. He actually, often he will be playing guitar behind on the stage on every single worship service. Monique, how did you feel about Mark Bryan?
He's such a wealth of information. He's such a source of help, and it just speaks to the heart of what we're doing here. It's just inspiring and empowering the creative, and he's the source of that.
And you're listening to Worship Factory on KKL 99.5 FM.